Going to spend the next 45 minutes or so talking with you about wildlife surveys that go on here in Wisconsin. There's one called Operation Deer Watch, but there are many other wildlife surveys out there. And guess what? You and I can take part in those surveys. And we're going to learn all about them as we visit with Brian Dewey. Brian is a wildlife surveys and database manager in the Bureau of Science Services of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Have you ever participated in a wildlife survey? What types of animals did you help count? What was the experience like for you? I hope you'll join in with your comments and with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post a question on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Brian Dewey, welcome.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Great to see you. And it's fun to talk about surveys. I did a lot of, in my career here, I've done a lot of people surveys. I haven't done many wildlife surveys. Why are wildlife surveys important?
Well, they're important so we can keep track as to the number of wildlife that we have and how they're doing and if they're going up or down or how the health is. The public has a keen interest in wildlife and both viewing it and for hunting purposes. So it's important for both our tourism aspect and for the hunting public in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And what kinds of raw data do you collect and how often is it collected?
Well, we do a couple different wildlife, or a lot of different types of surveys, both the public information type surveys where we mail out a questionnaire at the end of the hunting season and ask people about, you know, the number of days they hunted, the amount of animals that they killed, the number of traps they used and things like that. But we also do what I like to call biological surveys where we try to get an index to abundance or try to monitor the health of the wildlife populations in the state of Wisconsin. So we do both types of surveys. And today we're going to talk about some of those monitoring type surveys.
Yeah. And let's take this Operation Deer Watch. Let's talk about that first here. What are the specific goals for Operation Deer Watch?
The goal of the Operation Deer Watch is to count all the deer that are seen during the months of August and September. And the idea there is to try to come up with the ratios of the number of fawns to does that are out there in the wild as an index to production of the, you know, the fawn crop for that year.
Okay, so that's the key element, the number of fawns out there.
Right, right. It's important because it plays into our sex age kill model, which comes up with our population levels at the end of the hunting season. And the fawn to doe ratio is used directly in that sex age kill model as the fawn portion of the population for that year.
So when somebody goes out and observes, they're looking for fawns. Well, they're looking for all types of deer, aren't they?
Yeah, we want them to record all deer, bucks, does, and fawns that they see from dawn to dusk. And by dawn to dusk, I mean when headlights are not needed for driving. It's important that they record all deer because what we're trying to do is get that fawn to doe ratio. So we don't just want to know the number of fawns that the does that were successful had. We want to know the total, both unsuccessful does and successful does, and we make them identify bucks as well, just because sometimes bucks are kind of hard to identify, particularly if they have smaller antlers, and we want them to pay attention to the deer type that they're looking at.
We have Kim in Chippewa Falls on with a comment or question. Hi, Kim. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. See, I got to participate in a deer count survey down at the old Badger Army Ammunition Plant years ago. When I flew for the National Guard, and we did the deer count by helicopter.
Yes, that is one means of monitoring the deer herd, and we do some of that type of deer population monitoring, particularly in the CWD area where our sex age kill model doesn't work very well because some of our standard harvest techniques are not normal. But yeah, we do some helicopter counts of deer as well, both in and out of the CWD zone.
Hmm. Was it fun? Kim?
It was very fun. It was very interesting. It was very challenging. We divided everything up on a grid map, and then we would fly in. We would cover a grid. We'd get down in. It was rodeo flying. We had to scare the deer up and get them moving, and we'd count as we were pushing them back towards the back of the grid, and then we'd hop to the next grid and do the same thing, and we'd work our way from the south end to the north end, one grid at a time, count, push back, until we'd get to the far north end.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, that the Badger Ammunition Plant is kind of a unique situation where there's a lot of nicely gridded roads and fences where you can easily count deer. That doesn't necessarily always apply in the, out in the wild.
No, it doesn't. Thanks.
We saw the biggest bucks I've ever seen in my life in there too.
Oh yeah, I was gonna. That was the other question I was gonna ask. You saw some big bucks.
Huge.
Yeah. Thanks, Kim.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Facebook question from Diane, who says, I live in Elkhorn, Walworth County, between counties ES and County A. Where did all our deer go?
Well, the deer are not evenly spaced out on the landscape, obviously, and they have summer range and they have winter range, and they could possibly be moved off into different areas. Also, right now at this, particularly this time, they're probably starting to group back up again, but early in the summer when they're having their fawns, they have a tendency to wander off on their own and be in smaller family groups, so they're kind of harder to see that way as well. But now as their fawns are becoming more mature, those are starting to group back up again, and there may be larger groups of deer to be able to be seen.
You know, talking with Scott Craven, I think it's May, early May, he talks about always, we go from the lowest point of the deer population for a particular year, probably around April, is it, or March maybe, and then by, you know, like a few weeks later, you've got the highest population.
That's correct, right. Probably early May before they start having their fawns, we're at our lowest, and then probably by the second or third week of June, we're at our highest deer population levels. But they're pretty hard to see at that time of year.
Yeah, they really are. And the unfortunately, I've seen a few fawn out killed along the roadside, and of course, yearlings too.
Yeah, I mean, particularly in early May when the adult does are about to have their fawns, they may kick out the last year's crop of fawns, and particularly the young bucks have to go out on their own and find a place to live and find some habitat, and they have a tendency to be young and stupid without mama for the first time, and they get hit by cars.
Yeah. Ron in Green Bay, we turn to you now. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. Yeah, see, I hunt in Unit 50 in the Dunbar Wildlife Area, and I'm very concerned with the increase in antlerless tags in this particular unit. Last season, it was approximately 500 tags in Unit 50. This season, they've increased it to 5,850, which is an increase of about 1,170%, which is absolutely unbelievable to me. I spend a lot of time grouse hunting, berry picking, deer hunting, bow hunting, gun hunting up in this particular unit, and I just, the last few years, our sightings are not up, and I could understand maybe a 200-400% increase, but 1,170 just seems absolutely impossible to me.
Hmm. A comment, Brian? You may not know about that specific unit, but
correct. I do not know about that specific unit and the antlerless increase permits increased in that unit. You'd want to talk to your local wildlife manager. I just know that the winter of 08-09 and 09-10 were particularly difficult for the deer in northern Wisconsin, and we did have some winter losses. And the last winter was not nearly as difficult. In fact, it was on the mild side, or just moderately, or on the moderate side. So there are more deer surviving. As I said, the population model is based on sex, age, kill, and there were probably a large number of bucks that were killed in that unit that showed an increase in the population, thus the increase in antlerless permits for this year.
So sex, age, kill, explain that a little bit more.
Sex, age, kill is all the deer are registered in the state of Wisconsin, and the buck portion of the harvest is what drives our model. If we know the number of bucks that are killed, the survival rate of those bucks, we can come up with a buck population. Then we also know the number of adult does, two bucks in the population, so we multiply that out. And then also we, from Operation Deer Watch and from our own surveys, come up with the fawn portion of the population as well, add that in, and it comes up with our overall population estimate for a unit.
So how do these surveys figure in? I mean, you're using kill data, I think, for the...
Right. A kill data is the most important piece of our Sex Age Kill. And people always say, how can I contribute to the deer management program in the state of Wisconsin? The best way they can contribute to it is to register their deer. We get, you know, both the type of deer that they killed, either a buck or a doe, and the management unit that they killed the deer in, which gives us quite a bit of information on that animal.
Now, Ron here in Green Bay area, well, he does a lot of, he's outdoors a lot. He's hunting a lot. And this, you know, and he's concerned about the increase. Maybe this is a time for somebody like him, well, actually anybody, but somebody who's really interested to get involved in these surveys.
Right. This is a great way for him. I mean, maybe he lives in the area. I don't remember what he said, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in the area you hunt in the area you live in, but if you're interested in deer, this is a great way to participate. Other than registering your deer, this is probably has the most effect on our sex age kill model is the fawn to doe ratio information that can be, you know, provided by the public.
Now, do you, for this, are these purposive kinds of searches for animals, or are we talking about just in your normal everyday activity outside?
Just in your normal everyday activity outside, you know, maybe going for a hike or for a walk, or if you're on vacation somewhere, or if you're going and pick berries or whatever, and if you're out walking around and you notice some deer, pay attention to the type of deer that you see, you know, if it's a doe or if it's a buck or if it's a doe with some fawns. They don't have to be purposeful searches for deer. The one thing that we do ask that if you are seeing the same deer over and over again, that you only report it once. It's important that we get the fawn to doe ratio, not necessarily a complete count of all the deer in the area.
So, and you can oftentimes, if you're in the same area, in the area you live in, you get to actually know a particular doe or a particular buck or even a fawn.
Right. Usually what happens is you know, you usually take the same route to work every morning. You know, let's say 10 out of 20 mornings, you see the same doe and two fawns standing in the same corner of the field that they normally in. They particularly now at this time of the year, they get pretty in a pretty good routine as to where they're going to be.
And then you need to report it somehow. Do you do it online or you do it?
Right, right. We provide all this, an online survey that they can fill out online. You just go to the DNR website, which is dnr.wi.gov. And right on the front page is an Operation Deer Watch button. Or if they want, they can do a keyword search for Operation Deer Watch. That would bring them to an instruction page, which gives them a link to the survey. Gives them a tally sheet that they can print out and take with them to keep track of their observations when they're away from their computer or if they're on vacation or the like. There's a video that gives them some guidelines on to how to perform the survey and some instructions. There's contact information that they can contact me.
And we'll get into some more of that as we visit with Brian Dewey of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about wildlife surveys. We've visited about deer surveys, and there are some other surveys as well that we're going to be talking about, black bear and bobcat observations, among others. With our guest today, Brian Dewey is the Wildlife Surveys and Data Manager. He's in the Bureau of Science Services of our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Questions for him or comments? Maybe you've participated in a survey. What type of animal did you help count? What was the experience like for you? We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page, post a photo or a question or a comment on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd love to have that as well. And I'm looking at the Facebook page right now, and Debbie has posted a shot from a camera that's placed out in the woods, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there are a lot of trail cameras out there, and they can provide you with some good information. Unfortunately, we do not want trail camera observations for our Operation Deer Watch survey. We only want observations of deer that you make directly and no trail camera photos. The problem with trail camera photos is they have a very narrow focus or very narrow view. And as the picture that's up on the screen now shows a doe and a fawn, it's very quite possible that there's another fawn lagging behind that may not be accounted for in the trail camera photo. As a human being, you have a much wider field of view.
Right.
Plus, you have a tendency to move around a little bit, so you would get a much better view as to exactly how many fawns that doe had.
This is a pretty good picture, though, for a trail cam.
Yeah, it's amazing, the technology that's out there. There is a place for trail cameras and trail camera type observations, and maybe we can get into that a little bit.
Go ahead.
One of the surveys that we're doing is back. We know black bears and particularly bobcats both have been on expanding their range, particularly in the southern part of the state. In the last couple of years, we've been having people call in and tell us their black bear sightings and the like. But now what we have is we've set up a survey on the website, on our DNR website, that allows people to fill out a form about their observations. They can, and on that survey, we can use trail camera photos, particularly. It's really good for bobcats because bobcats are really secretive animals and trail cameras are pretty good at catching bobcats and black bears. But for black bears, we're only interested in observations from the southern third of the state. But for bobcats, we're interested in observations from all over the state. And the idea here is to try to get a better definition as to exactly where the range extension is for bears and bobcats in the state.
So, and as I, again, I'm amazed as I look at this trail cam photo at the quality of the photos has really gotten to be very, very good.
Yeah, it has. And if people are interested, we actually have a trail camera gallery of all the photos that people have already sent in on the black bear and bobcat observation form. That's available on the website. And there's some particularly good shots of animals out there. There's some grainy ones at night as well. But if the lighting is right, these trail cameras can do a wonderful job.
And as you look at the picture there, there's a little browse going on there.
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a browse line on that photo. I'm sure that the deer are, there's some deer in that area.
there's more than those two in that area.
Probably.
All right. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. You've got a deer hunter wildlife. Let's talk about the Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey a bit. It's for deer hunters only, really.
Yes, correct. We have another survey that we developed. Actually, this was developed back in 2009. This was in response, again, to hunters in particular telling us that they want to be heard about the number of deer in their area and the number of wildlife, other observations that they make on wildlife. Deer hunters spend many hours in the woods quietly observing things, and they are a great source of information for not only deer but some of these other wildlife species that may be hard to observe. All we ask is that deer hunters, every time they go in the woods, all they have to do is supply us with the date that they hunted, the county and the deer management unit that they hunted in, a ranking of the weather from 1 to 10, and then the number of deer and other wildlife they see while they're out and about in the woods. This gives us information about, and it gives us an index to abundance for these wildlife. There are lots of other states use this information or this technique and use deer hunters as a means of monitoring some of these wildlife species that are, you know, hard to observe or expensive to monitor.
And you've been doing this since 2009?
That's correct. We've been doing that. So we have 2 years worth of data, the 2009 hunting season and the 2010 hunting season. We have over 30,000 observations encompassing over 180,000 hunting hours, observations from all 72 counties and almost every single deer management unit in the state. And so we get a number of animals seen per unit effort by the hunter. And we also get kind of some other interesting information. They provide us with the date that they see the animal on. And some of the interesting things that we've noticed from this Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey is that the highest observation rate for deer is usually that first week of October and then has a tendency to go down until the first week of the gun deer season when it's at its lowest point and then goes back up again as all the leaves are off the trees and as snow starts falling and deer become easier to see.
So kind of interesting. And then how are you using that data, those data?
Well, right now we only have, you know, 2 years worth of data. It becomes more valuable as time goes on, so we can start having trend information for not only for deer but for all these other animals: fisher, bobcat, bear, coyote. You know, there's also a lot of other fur bears on there, and there's a couple of game birds as well: wild turkey, rough grouse, and any other strange or unusual animals that are not normally seen in their area. We're interested in that as well.
Let's go to Larry in Trempealeau County next. Larry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks. This was last fall. I was 15 feet from a young bobcat. He stared at me for about a minute. And first one I'd ever seen on our farm near Ettrick. And then, of course, we have a lot of bear now. We had... can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah,
we had two young bear, probably a year and a half. My son observed them chasing butterflies on the road.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you're probably aware there's a lot of bear in this Temple County area.
The bear information we're not necessarily so interested in. We're more interested in the stuff much further south, but the bobcat information we are definitely interested in, and you can still report those observations even if they occurred a year ago, or if you have trail camera photos of the animal over a year ago. If you have a good recollection of exactly where you were, what the animal was doing in the time, all you have to do is just go on to our DNR website.
Okay.
And then just type in black bear and bobcat observations, and it'll bring you to the web page, and then it'll give you a link to the survey, and you can fill all that information there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Jake in Brooklyn, on to you now. Hi, Jake.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I have a question about how does the CWD tie into, as far as all the surveys, as far as are you finding deer with CWD, and how does that affect the actual numbers and management of the deer?
Well, we have our own, CWD has its own whole line of surveys that they do. One of them I mentioned before with the population estimates and the helicopter surveys. They, as far as finding CWD in deer, what we do in there is our surveillance techniques or surveys that we do, and those are primarily done during the hunting season when hunters are harvesting deer. It gives us easiest access to large numbers of deer, but if people have, you know, sick deer or deer that they feel are sick, they can report those as well, and you know, we handle those.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Caller Amelia wonders if she can help out when she really doesn't know much about how to tell apart different deer.
Okay. Well, at this time of the year, deer are pretty easy to tell apart. I mean, bucks are in velvet. Their antlers are larger. They're pretty easy to identify. Does and are a little bit larger deer. Fawns usually still have their spots at this time of the year, and they're only about half the size of an adult doe, so they're pretty easy to tell. So we also give some information on how to differentiate these animals on the website, but as the season progresses and as the fawns get bigger, by early September they start losing their spots, and they can be a little bit more difficult to tell, but to a trained eye it's still pretty easy. Their noses are usually a little bit shorter than an adult doe's nose. Their foreheads aren't nearly as broad. Fawns have a tendency to have be more of a square than adult does, which are more of a rectangle. And by that, I mean the height of the animal versus the length of the animal has a tendency to be more of a square for fawns. And adult does have a tendency to be more of a rectangle, where their body length is a little bit longer compared to their height.
Yeah, those are all good points. And you would encourage Amelia to go ahead and participate. I think she's worried about counting the same one twice or things like that.
Well, as you start paying more attention to those types of situations, where the deer are and the types and the numbers of deer out there, you'd probably be surprised as to how quickly you will recognize or identify that, those are the same deer I saw, or you start identifying where family groups are hanging out and living in your area.
We have a Facebook question from Mitchell. My wife and I saw what we think was a coyote pup that had been hit by a car outside of Cuba City, Wisconsin, last night. Do we need to report this to the DNR?
Well, if they're sure it's a coyote, No, we don't care about that as much. But if they think it's a possibility that it's a wolf, yes, we are interested in wolf sightings. Those are in a different spot on our website. Those are on the Rail Mammal Observation Form, and those are handled by our Endangered Resources Group. But yes, we would be interested in if you have a suspicion if it's a wolf. Best thing you can do is take some pictures of that animal, since this is a roadkill, and then put something in the picture for a frame of reference, something that we know a certain size of. A dollar bill is a great, or paper money is a great way to do that, because we know the exact size of paper money, and then we can identify if that's a wolf or a coyote.
Paper dollar is 6 1/8 inches, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So it gives us a real good reference for the size.
I use it measuring all the time. Yeah. I don't have a yardstick or whatever to measure. I often use it, pull out a dollar bill and use it. You can join in, too, with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or shoot a question or a photo on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. There's a game bird brood count as
right.
well. Is there a monitoring at least?
Yes. This survey, unfortunately, is almost over. There's only about 10 days left, but this survey also involves the public. And what they can do is just report the game bird broods that they see while they're, same thing like Operation Deer Watch, while they're just, you know, out and about, or, you know, living at home or whatever, driving to work. Particularly, we're interested in pheasants, turkeys, ruffed grouse, gray partridge, sharp-tailed grouse, prairie chickens, and bobwhite quail. The survey runs from the second week of June through the third week of August, so you still, like I said, have about 10 days left. All you have to do is go onto our website, type in Game Bird Brood, and bring up our webpage and the survey link, and all you have to do is just the date of the observation, the county of the observation, the number of hens that you saw, and the number of poults or young that you saw with that brood, and whether it was a complete or incomplete count. Sometimes these animals can be hard to count because they're all scurrying around and mixing around, and you don't necessarily, you know, there's at least six, but you don't know, you know, there could be more.
All right. Well, let's go to Kathy in Wauwatosa then. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question. I ride my bike in Wauwatosa and in Milwaukee and Waukesha County, and I often see a lot of deer and coyote, and I am wondering if they look for information for a deer count in Milwaukee and Waukesha County. And I'll go off the air.
All right. Thank you for calling.
It's not as important as it would be in an area that's heavily hunted or in our northern forest area of the state. But, yes, we are interested in deer sightings, you know, in Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, because there is deer hunting allowed in those counties. And we do model the population. So it's important that we get that information.
So in her riding on the bike, she could fill out those reports on what she's seen then.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. David in Richland Center, on to you now. Hi, David.
Yeah. Wow, that was quick. My question was for you guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Got the radio in the background. We've got coyotes here, big time. And I think that's what's really affecting our deer population around here. And I gave up deer hunting years ago because, we don't really care for it. The hunting's fun, but I got into this coyote hunting. It's amazing, the coyotes that we can call in here, and I've seen them hit deer and the fawns, and their dens are right there with the bones around them. And I was just wondering, what do you think about that?
Why there's no coyote counting or so forth?
Well, we know there's lots of coyotes, and there is a survey that we do in the northern part of the state that tries to account for an index to coyotes, and that's a winter track count survey that we do. But we don't do anything in the southern part of the state. We know there's lots of coyotes, and we know there's a lot of them out there, and hopefully this Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey will help fill in some of the gaps in the state and give us another index to abundance for some of these animals that we may not have particular surveys on. So it's a great way for us to fill in some of the gaps of our data.
Thanks, David. Greg in Mequon, on to you now. Hi, Greg.
Hi. I just was listening to the show, and I heard a reference to rare sightings. I observed a river otter in Mequon Wisconsin, just outside of Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
Not sure if that would be considered rare. I'm not accustomed to them or familiar with them being seen so far south in the state.
Yeah. What about that, Brian?
Well, you'd be surprised where there are river otters. They're fairly secretive animals, and unless you're on a waterway or a riparian area, you don't necessarily see them very well. I mean, they're not out and about on the upland areas where the people are usually. There are river otters in a lot of places that people wouldn't expect them to be. It's not that rare to have a river otter in that area of the state.
How many counties would you suspect we have river otters in out of the 72?
I would say 72.
All of them.
I would be surprised if there isn't river otter in Milwaukee County somewhere, or at least in the Milwaukee River briefly. They're around in a lot of spots.
All right. Thanks, Greg, for calling. And Joe in Soldiers Grove, on to you. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Yeah, I have a few cattle on 20 acres in Crawford County, and the cattle get chased from
the barbed wire fence. We're just, you're breaking up. We're not able to hear you there, Joe. But I know the gist of your question has to do with what do you do if you see a large cat, mountain lion or something.
Well, if you see a large cat or any animal that you can identify, it would be great if you could get a picture of it. If you have it on trail camera, send it in to me or into our Endangered Resources Department. If you can't get a camera, see if you can get some tracks or pictures of the tracks of the animal. That would be very important to do that as well. Once again, if you take pictures of tracks or anything, please put something in the frame for reference. And like I said, a paper money is a great frame of reference for that. So try to get pictures of the track. And if not, try to get as good a description of the animal as you possibly can for us so we can, identify that. Cougars are occasionally occur through the state of Wisconsin. And we've had cougar sightings, cougar trail camera photos and the like. They're rare. They're very, very rare. But, it does happen. And if you can give us the best information, we can hopefully positively identify the animal.
All right, let's go to Cornelia in Taliesin next. Cornelia, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
What?
What's on your mind?
Well, I saw a badger about 15 years ago. It's the only one I've ever seen, but I saw it right near Taliesin. And I can't hear, are they talking about it on the radio?
Well, I guess our question there from Cornelia is, she saw a badger many years ago, hasn't seen one since. Are there a lot of badgers living in Wisconsin right now, the animal, the four-legged kind?
Well, there's some work going on that right now, trying to identify the range of badgers and try to get a better whole list of the number of badgers that are in the state. There's a badger genetics project that's ongoing right now with UW-Milwaukee. A link to that is on our website. So if you have badger sightings as well, go to the DNR website and you can link to the UW-Milwaukee and send in your badger sightings. I know that we have some researchers working on badgers in our area right now. And we're trying to identify if there are more badgers and what their range is.
Pretty good range. I mean, they're running around at night for the most part. That's why we don't see them.
Yeah, and they're also pretty seclusive. They're pretty good at, keeping their head low and not being seen as well.
Let's turn to, thanks, Cornelia. Ben in Sturtevant, on to you. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I actually had a comment about something my dad saw. He went to the swap meet out in Elkhorn last weekend, and he said on his way home that him and his friend swore that they saw what looked like a mountain lion dead on the side of the road like it'd been hit. And I was just wondering if there are actually mountain lions in this area or if it was something else that he may have seen. He's pretty sure it was. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, wish you'd stop and take a picture.
Well, it seems like if it would have been a mountain lion, a roadkill mountain lion probably isn't going to escape the public eye, and people are going to notice that. It's possible that it was and somebody picked it up, but it's probably pretty unlikely that it was. I know that that the mountain lion that we had come through Wisconsin back in 2010 ended up going all the way over to the East Coast in Connecticut and being a roadkill out there. So there are some transient mountain lions that pass through in our scene. But like I said, if you do see one and you have a good description of it, we'll consider it.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Brian, thank you so much. Again, people should go to the website if they're interested in any of these surveys that are going on. Go to that DNR website, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so right now we have Operation Deer Watch, which is started August 1st and runs through the 30th of September. Game Bird Brood runs till the August 20th. The Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey, which will start with the opening of the archery deer season and runs through the end of the archery deer season, but it's not just archery, it's gun as well. So anybody, all you deer hunters out there who want to tell the DNR what you're seeing for wildlife and or deer, that's a great way to do it. And then the black bear and bobcat observation, that's running 365 days a year. If you have any black bear observations in the southern third of the state and or bobcat observations statewide, we are interested in them.
Brian Dewey of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, our guest. Thank you for listening on the Ideas Network.